Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Mr. Bruce Cassidy, hello, sir.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Rich. John, how are you?
Thank you for saying our names. It lends a sense of intimacy to this conversation, and we appreciate it.
Might as well get off on the right foot.
Absolutely. It's like our oldest chums. Thank you for that. All right. Let's start with who's not here, because that's always fun. Zdeno Chara, as long as I've been in Boston, has been I think he was the captain the first year he was here. I don't know if he was or not. But the
he was.
Okay, yeah. All right. So he has been. So I got here in 2006. All right. So he's gone. And so that was a, what was that, just a conversation with him about his role on the team, and he didn't feel comfortable with that, and was being captain a part of that whole decision-making process on his end?
Well, it started at the end of, you know, we evaluate after coming out of the bubble, and, you know, part of it was we have some kids on defense that kind of getting to the point where they've, you know, played 2-3 years in the minors, a little bit up here. So, you know, we wanted to see what they, you know, they could offer to us, and we've been talking about that for a while. We did that with a lot of young guys. So that's the first part of it. So who does that affect? And then obviously Z was up, Torrey's contract was up, so there had to be just some decisions there. Both players, you know, were wanted back here, but under what parameters was it going to be? So in Z's case, just a little bit of, we told him flat out, we were honest, we have to look at these guys, so it's going to affect your minutes, where you play in the lineup, and et cetera. But at the end of the day, then obviously we're going to play the best lineup. But we had to be true to ourselves when we said that and look at guys, and he was perfectly okay with that and felt he had a better opportunity to play more in another team. Turned out to be Washington. So that was it in a nutshell. Captaincy, we knew that if he left, Berge was basically a co-captain with Z, so that's an area we felt comfortable with. In terms of the leadership, I don't know what would have happened to Z's captaincy if he stays in a limited role. I mean, that's, you know, above my pay grade, but that's how we felt in that situation. And, you know, I mean, listen, the guy was great for us. He's a, you know, Hall of Famer, and, you know, he bled, you know, Bruins blood. So we're going to miss him, but, you know, right now we got to sort of coach the guys we have, and we have to do a good job with them because, you know, they need to come through for us, and that's the evaluation we thought would make us, you know, a good hockey team. So let's get at it tomorrow night and find out.
I just want to find out, what did you tell him specifically about his minutes?
Well, he was told that we would look at these guys who may not be in the lineup some nights. It might be as far as that, where he wasn't in the lineup, some back-to-backs early on. Here's the problem we ran into with this pandemic year and why it might have played out a little longer is that there's no exhibition games. We don't have an opportunity to judge these guys in 6 or 8 exhibition games to give you a little bit of a feel. We have none. We have, you know, 7-8 days of camp where we're trying to build in system, you know, a few new things. Not a lot. We haven't changed a lot, don't get me wrong, but, you know, building some chemistry with partners on the back end. So we just felt it would be unfair to say, oh, guy had a bad week of practice, he can't play in the National Hockey League. That's not fair to a kid that's kind of, you know, tutored down in Providence and here for 2-3 years. So that was the conversation. He, you know, it could be as much as he would be out of the lineup, but he may drop down and not be McAvoy's partner and play 23 minutes in all the matchup roles. It could vary. It honestly depend on how does he play first and foremost, and how do these young guys adapt to playing every night and playing against good players. And that is a little bit, I mean, we can sort of, you know, history tends to predict the future. So these younger guys we thought have progressed well, but we don't know. I mean, until they play, you know, you're just not sure. But we felt that they were very close. So that's the route we decided to take.
Were you surprised he didn't decide to retire at all?
No, I think he was adamant about still playing, and that's Z, right? He's a guy that prepares to play every game. He's in terrific shape, and, you know, that was, you know, probably the biggest issue here was, you know, like, we could not promise him
right.
what he wanted, and so at the end of the day, you got to respect what he wants. He wants, and obviously well, wants to keep playing.
Yeah, it's his decision. I would just think, I just put myself in his shoes. I would think, you know, if this team that I was the captain of for 14 years or whatever it was, and, you know, they're not offering me any money really anywhere else, maybe better to hang it up. But I don't know. If he wants
to
play.
Yeah, and that's not a subject I'm going to broach with a player. That's his decision.
Oh, I mean, sure, right.
Being an older guy, you know, like, you play till you can because it's a great sport and you're going to miss it. Would be my advice to almost any player. But in his situation, that's entirely his call, and he made it, and I respect him for it.
Well, you're going to be playing him a lot, so who on your team would you like to most see drop the gloves against him?
Nobody. We will get his best, knowing Z, just the competitive guy he is, and that's great. But, you know, we have, and part of the decision making is also who, you know, who's here to fill some of the minutes he gives us and some of his attributes. So, you know, obviously Lozon is not Z, he's not 6'9", he's 23 years old, he's learning the ropes, but he's a good hard defensive player that if he grows into what we believe he can be, he will give us some of those shutdown minutes. Brandon Carlo, obviously a good defensive player, but Kevin Miller's healthy and he looks great. Now, again, he's missed a lot of time, there's going to be rust there, but so far his medical side of things has been excellent. He's recovered well, hasn't missed a minute of training camp, and he gives us some of Z's bite, so, and Big Brother on the blue line. So those are some things that factored into it, and we knew that coming in this year that Kevin was progressing well. It was just a matter of getting him into some, you know, some physical and competitive situations. So far he's passed all those tests.
Yeah, because that was the one thing when listeners call in, because I understand the Zdeno Chara move, obviously, and I understand that you've invested a lot of picks and stuff into getting these defensemen, and it's time that they have to prove if they can do it at an NHL level, and there's also you know, other concerns. But the Kevin Miller thing, you know, what did you see? What was the thought behind the contract? I mean, you know, it's great that he's playing well, and it's great that he looks good, and I guess good luck as well. But what was the thought process into him in particular, re-signing him, when you let a guy like Chara go?
Well, he was signed before Z, so I don't think it was automatically like Kevin's in, Z's out, right?
Okay.
I don't think it was as clean as that. And again, these are questions, and I'm not kicking it down the road, but, you know, Donnie signs the contracts. We have conversations about what a guy can bring, and there was a question whether Z would be back. You know, it wasn't done right away. It wasn't done ahead of time. So like the last 3 years, I think it's always been done late in the year, so... At the end of the day, we talked about our lineup, what it looks like with Kevin, what's it look like with Z, what's it look like with Torrey before all that happened, so, and these young guys. And that was basically it. Kevin was a guy we thought could fill in on the bottom, you know, behind Carlo and, or McAvoy and Carlo. And we know what he brought. And he's still he's early 30s, but there's some good years left if he gets through this medical thing. So I think that was the first thing. We'll try to get him back on a decent contract in case he doesn't get done. And if you get them both done, great. If, you know, at least you have that element of bite on your back end. And I think that's where we went with it. And I then it was kicked down to the medical guys, and Donnie consulted with them and made his decision that, you know, they have to predict where he's going to go. I mean, you know, he missed time, so there was that was a concern. But they feel that he's ready to go, so here we are.
Well, I mean, I know we're obviously looking forward to seeing it. It was kind of shocking to hear that at some of these practices you've had, you know, I think Joe Haggerty said he looked like an animal from the very beginning because we just haven't seen him play for so long. But so, I mean, so you've got that aspect of it, Z being gone. On top of that, you're jumping right into the fire because apparently it was announced yesterday that there were almost 50 players that tested positive for COVID. The Dallas Stars, as we were saying, have 17 members with COVID. The NBA is having to cancel games left and right. What are you guys doing, Bruce, that's outside the normal protocols to keep yourselves from, you know, getting derailed this early in the season?
Well, I mean, when you leave the building, the players are accountable to themselves and to their teammates. So I hope, the hope is they're staying with their immediate families or whoever's, you know, their self-contained, you know, family bubble, or if they're single guys just with themselves, basically, or, if, you know, whoever's been inside of that. And we do get tested every day, which I think the NBA does as well. But guys, once they leave here, like I said, there's protocols like, you know, who you're supposed to drive with yourself. You're not supposed to be indoors, go out for walks, have a mask on, all the normal stuff that you hear about. And after that, it's basically the discipline of the players to, you know, to follow through on that. When we go on the road, there's strict protocols. You know, we have one floor in a hotel. We eat our meals at the hotel. You can go outside, but you're not supposed to enter any you know, establishment once you leave the hotel to get exercise or a walk. So there's a lot of ask of the players. But if they want to play, we want to get this done, that's what they're going to have to do. And I think the NBA, what's happening there is a good example of that. Even baseball, it was the Marlins at first or the Cardinals, I forget.
The Cardinals season was a joke. Yeah,
Some of it is on the players to buy into it, right? And we've seen now different leagues go through it. So hopefully that's, you know, the teacher here that, you know, if you do take risks, that it could affect the whole team and affect your ability to, you know, to put the best team on the ice. So we just have to rely on them to have the discipline to do it.
Are you keeping Tuukka and Alok separated so you don't have a Denver Broncos quarterback situation?
Well, we're actually trying to separate those guys, and they're good friends, and I, you know, hang out together. So we've actually talked to them about that, and we're trying to any meeting. We're trying to get them separate, so we do the same meeting twice if it involves goalies. I would assume once we get going, they'll, you know, maybe they have to be on a separate bus to the rink in case some, you know, there's, it's the contact tracing that gets you if you're together all the time. So we're trying to split them up whenever possible. Hopefully they don't eat together. Anything that, you know, can reduce the risk, even if it's marginally, it all adds up, right? So, I mean, you can lose a goalie for a stretch of 2 weeks, right? And one of them can go in and you can manage. But to lose both your goalies would be a real kick in the, you know, beep. You know, yeah. For any team, you know, so
the nuts, the testicles.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't been on in a while. I don't know what I'm allowed to get away with anymore.
Balls, just let it free. Anything for balls is a green light here, Bruce.
Okay.
Anything is your balls is a green light here, Bruce.
Okay.
Anything is your green lights as far as the eye can see.
We're in delay. You're fine.
Listen, a rational person, including myself, as said, all right, yeah, I can't blame the guy for leaving. I mean, you know, his daughter had a situation happening. You're in the bubble. He leaves, and he's not saying anything.
Well, you do get asked a question, and I listen. I try to be honest with every question. I mean, some stuff just stays inside here for obvious reasons. But right. In that situation, I did not speak to Tuukka. He spoke to Donnie and Cam, and then he had to get home. I mean, obviously there was an emergency, so it wasn't necessary. And eventually we spoke, but by then the questions are asked, and you know, you try to just say, "Hey, listen, this is what happened, to the best of my knowledge." And he's at home now and taking care of family business. And Donnie will speak on Tuukka's behalf, and Tuukka will speak on his own behalf when he's good and ready. So, if it gets asked over and over, I understand why it's asked at first, right? I mean, it's a big deal when you lose your number one goalie, but after a while, it's like, guys, I don't know. Like, you have to talk to Tuukka.
Right. And he's not talking, though, and then that...
Exactly. So it's...
Right.
You know, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to manufacture something.
No. I'm just speaking of it puts you in a bad spot.
It's like a no-win situation.
Right, because you can't manufacture anything, and he's not talking. And we're talking about it. I mean, I was in rehab, but I couldn't talk about it. But you know, we're people are talking about it. That's just got to be like a frustrating spot to be put in. But you know, obviously, Tuukka has left the team before. Let's take the bubble out of it. I'm not referring to any of that. Tuukka's left the team before. You know, he said some things as a fan base and as media. There's questions.
Do you question his commitment?
Right, yeah. to his commitment. Do you feel any of that with him?
No, I'm comfortable with Tuukka. I think he looks great in camp. We can go back and, you know, sort of revisit each one of those things. I think it's, you know, been done. It's over with, in my estimation. I mean, I'm not going to just say it didn't happen. But at the end of the day, he's been here every day. He looks great, working out. From my conversations with him, everything's great at home. Everything's great here. He's healthy. I expect he'll have a great, you know, season for us, and that's the way I'm trying to focus on it. I think it's, yeah, you guys could, you know, talk about the other stuff, the fan base. I get all that, but for me as a coach, I'm focused on, you know, Thursday night and then going forward. And as I said, I think he looks fantastic, and we'll see where it leads from there. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but he's starting Thursday night, and I expect him to play well and play well all year. All
right, what do you think of these new conferences, the way they've been divvied up?
Well, they're interesting. Some old rivalries for us with Philly and the Rangers could develop here. With you're only playing seven teams. That's the thing that, you know, didn't kick in at first. Seven teams, that's it. So,
is that a good thing?
I guess it depends. If you ask people that you're going to play a team eight times, then you're going to play, you know, you're in the playoffs, you're going to play them another, you know, possibly seven times. I mean, there's some bad blood, like the old, reminds me of the old Adam divisions years ago, Boston, Montreal, the Quebec, Hartford, all those, you know, there were some good rivalries. So, but you get to see, well, you know, I guess on TV, you're not watching the Bruins if you want to see Connor McDavid or Braden Point or, you know, those, you know, some of the guys, Matthews, whoever your guy is. I think it's the Canadian division. They'll love it up there. That, you know, something they've probably been wanting to see for a long time. So that'll be an interesting thing. I don't know about the Central. Like I said, our division, seeing Crosby eight times, Ovechkin, I mean, we're going to have our hands full. So that part of it will be, it'll be good in that regard. But at the end of the day, I don't know, that's someone else to decide down the road. I think these things play themselves out and you kind of figure it out from there. But I would, to answer your question, I think the Canadian division will get the biggest boost from this.
All right.
We heard that David Pastrnak, that things are looking better than I guess most people expected before the season started. What are you hearing about his return date?
He was originally his return to play would be mid-February from that particular surgery. I think he's ahead of that for what I've been told. He's on the ice. He's skating in a very small group right now. He's in the on-ice part, just starting to get ramped up. He'll join us in team drill January 20th or so. So he might, my guess, and I'm guessing here, is that it might be early February, you know, if he keeps progressing the way he is. So he shaves off a little time. And in this shortened season, that's important.
All right. Well, listen, Bruce Cassidy, thank you for joining us. And the season kicks off tomorrow. You'll be able to hear all the games here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We always appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right. And thank you for not saying balls on our airways. Yeah, there's children.
Right. Please
next
do
time.
Not. Yeah, next time.
Next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Cam will swear that.
Yep. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash,
Miss Cash. Yeah, baby. It's the Bankroll Boys via technology. Not one Bankroll Boy to be seen in studio. So sorry, Twitch family. You don't get to take a gander at our boys. But they are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings.now, use code SPORTSUP during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, you guys are using technology today. I don't get to be graced by your presence.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Fred. Unfortunately, we're busy today. It's some the unfortunate circumstances.
Oh, my friends, well, that is more than okay. That is okay. Just hearing your voice is enough for me. Gentlemen, how did the first week of the playoffs go for you guys?
I think it went all right, Dan. I think we predicted the at least the trend said that the underdogs. And the unders were big, and this past week it was the underdogs and the overs. I think overall it went 4-2.
Okay. Respectable.
But, yeah, you know, I had Ohio State, which was bad. So again, the trend is the square. If we're looking at this long term, I think this COVID era is you bet square, and I don't know, Dan, the over too. Like it was just. You know, favorite in the over, it was just, it's too easy at sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of people on the dog in the national championship game. I went square, as Joe said, on the over. It hit by, I think, like a point and a half, whatever it was, landed in 76. It was a nice win. But, I mean, look, the best teams are winning right now. You're not seeing these crazy upsets like we have seen in the past. And Ohio State, the national championship game wasn't even remotely close. It was a blowout.
Yeah, it was an NFL offense out there. It was really something to see. Take Mac Jones at your own foibles. All right, let's look at this weekend. Are we going square on all these things, or where are we headed? I see a lot of people, a lot of the experts, have the Ravens. They like them to win outright. They are a mild underdog. What is your feeling on that game, fellas?
So I'll just throw out a trend real quick. Number one seed since 2007, 9-17-2 against the spread in the divisional round.
Woof.
Which is not great. But, you know, I guess the question is, who has a better bet this weekend? Or what's the better bet? Is it the Rams at 6.5? Is it the Browns at 10? Or both those teams come back to reality?
I mean, for me personally, I think your best option in the Baltimore Buffalo game. I know it's going to be kind of going back to last week. It's going to be the under. I think in my opinion, when it depend where you got the line last week, it ended 51, I think, and yep. it opened 52. It was at 51.5. It got down to 50.5. So I mean, it really depended where you got that line last week was important to get that closing line value if you wanted the over or the under, depending on where it was. This week, I think you're going to see much of the same, but I think you're going to see a bunch of unders. I expect I'm looking at all four games, and I'm looking three or four unders, to be honest with you. I think that the Buffalo Baltimore game is going to be somewhat like we saw last week. You know, Buffalo versus an elite defense had moments where they struggled. They turned it on offensively in the second half, and Josh Allen was much better despite his terrible fumble. But there's going to be times where that team just doesn't have it. They're still banged up a wide receiver. Diggs is not practicing this week. Beasley was, banged up all week. And so I think that there's going to be points for that Buffalo team where they're not clicking. And of course, they lost Zach Moss, who is essentially their starting running back. And, you know, they signed Devonta Freeman, trying to get him up to the speed to go with Singletary. It's been a mess, but I think that, you know, I would go under. I think that game is a game where you really want to avoid a side unless you really love Buffalo. Right now it's at 2.5. You probably take the 2.5 points because I'm not taking Baltimore at less than 3.
How you guys size up the New Orleans-Tampa Bay game? You guys know the last time they played, Tom Brady has never looked worse, yet the line is only 3, even though it's at New Orleans. How do you look at this thing?
I immediately look at the over, only for the fact that I think the Bucs defense is bad. I think Tom Brady's too good for that team. He's just too good for that team. He did so well last week, and there were drops. The defense was in cover. Like, Todd Bowles, oof. Like, it was bad. But I think the Bucs have a shot here. I think it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a row in one season.
But it happens. Have you seen the stats?
Yeah, last 3 times. The opportunity has arisen.
You love the trends, Joey Murr. There and the go. Trends do say it's not as hard to beat a team 3 times as we may imagine.
Boom, boom. So there you go. My only thing is this Bucs defense. They have to play better. I think the Bucs will score. I think New Orleans still has its struggles on offense. Their defense looks very good. So that's why I'm a little torn on the total here, but I lean over. Maybe there's some junk points at the end of the game there. But I have this feeling maybe the Bucs get past the Saints. The Saints always choke in this situation. No, at least they have over the last couple of years. So, you know, I think locally here a lot of people might be going with the Saints to fade Brady. This spread should be 4.5 or something to that degree. I think the Bucs at 3 might be the right number.
All right, so out of the 4 games, what's
the bet that
you're making?
Well, I mean, it did open at 4, which is kind of the point where I think that's a point that people are missing, is it opened at 4 and it opened at 3. So, you know, it was hit down to that 3 number. I think you'll probably see a 3.5 by what the action looks like by kickoff on Sunday. I actually go the other way on the total from Joe. I think it's going to be under. Look, Tampa has in my opinion, one of the best front sevens in the NFL. And when, you know, you have to get Alvin Kamara going, you know, to run the football, to get that offense, you know, really started, I think they're going to have a hard time doing that. Obviously, these teams know each other so well. It's a division battle. Those games are always a little bit different than, you know, even interconference games that aren't division battles. I like New Orleans here. I think that New Orleans is going to win this game. The whole beat a team 3 times, it is tough. But the fact is that the Bucs haven't even been close in these games. It hasn't even been, you know, remotely competitive. And so I'm going to, you know, just try and, you know, use my eyes here and roll with the fact that these games haven't been competitive. I'm going to take the team that has been blowing them out the first two and roll with them again, because I think that they're actually going to be, you know, I think the Bucs are going to be a massive public dog. They're getting 60% of the bet right now. So to me, it's I'm rolling New Orleans and probably the under too.
All right, give me the one bet that you're most confident in, both of you guys, for divisional weekend.
Bum bum bum.
That's a dramatic pause, ladies and gentlemen.
Bum bum.
One bet.
Here are the wheels churning. What do you guys got?
Let's start with Joe.
Bum, bum, bum.
What happened? Did we lose them? Do we lose them?
Are they gone?
Dan, are they gone?
Joe, are you there?
Oh, we're here.
Okay. Bum, bum, bum.
What happened? Is this just dramatic effect?
We lost you guys for a second.
All right. Well, Joe,
okay.
The question has been raised. Who do you like this weekend?
If you could make division row, what would it be? The one you're most confident in?
It's weird. I want to fade the Chiefs because they haven't covered a spread in 6 weeks or 7 weeks. I don't know, Dan, when's the last time they've covered a spread? So, I don't know. Like, the Browns clearly played good last week. The Chiefs, I think the Chiefs should win the game. They always play down to their competition. So, I don't know, 10 points, divisional round? I might grab the 10 points, even though I think the Chiefs win the game.
Scooby-dee-bop-bop-bop! Give it up to the Brown Stains. Dan Lifshitz, the question goes to you.
I'm going to go with that Tampa New Orleans under. I like that play a lot. Again, I think Tampa's front seven is going to slow Kamara down. He still hasn't. He didn't look right last week, you know, until that second half. And I still think that they're going to struggle to move the ball. And, you know, that New Orleans offense will struggle early. But ultimately, that Tampa team just it still doesn't look right. Even last week, I mean, they almost lost to what is essentially a fourth string quarterback who, you know, ran the football on them because he was mobile. I don't have any faith in them. As good as Brady looked, the rest of the team, as Joe said, kind of looked like crap. So I'm gonna take the under there and
All right, there you go, the Bankroll Boys. And if you love Alvin Kamara, you can buy a signed rookie card at Fred T. Sales on eBay, baby. That auction is ending soon. All right, gentlemen, get the Bankroll Boys. You can do yourself a favor. You can listen to their live show 7 to 9 on Saturday morning, something that I hear every Saturday morning. Usually followed by an hour of the Joe Show. You can also get the Over Under 98.5 podcast available for your listening pleasures. Gentlemen, are we doing degenerates anymore, Rich, or is that a thing of the past?
The listeners love the degenerates. I'm just not betting on them. So, I mean, the listeners love it. So give us something. You got something ready to go there, Joe or Dan?
No. God.
I don't, because we were told not to prep for it, so I didn't
All
prep
right.
for it.
All well, right. Well, maybe
next
in
week,
the future.
Let's come back with him, because even though I'm not doing him, the listeners
Rich
seem
got,
to really like him.
He's got YouTube TV money
I'm in the
on
hole.
The table.
I'm in the hole. I gotta pay Joe.
Well, if you're in the hole, that means you got to bet until you're out of that hole.
It's how it works.
You got to keep on betting, baby. Double down. All right, the Bankroll Boys. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we will be back in just a matter of moments. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I watched the last two episodes of Cobra Kai last night. And my son then wanted to kung fu fight afterwards. Yeah. And so he kicked me. He got me with an elbow between where my kneecap and shin begin, that Ooh. Like area. So that kills. And my right arm is basically toast. Like now, screw COVID. I got to go in and get it fixed. Because
this is a snowblower injury?
Well, my shoulder I threw out because I told you I was in left field at my son's practice a couple years ago, and I was a rock star throwing from the left field fence to home on one skip, so on one hop. So I was, and I did that about 40 times as hard as I could and threw my arm out.
Boy.
And then I had to start the snowblower 85 times because, of course, it wouldn't start because of, you know, it didn't snow last year. So I had that going, and now my arm is completely falling apart. So I guess 46 is when the body starts to completely rebel for a person like me. So if you're in any kind of good health, maybe 56 for you. But for me, see, Wallach, how old were you when the year crapped out?
It was 3 years ago, so right around 50.
Yeah, see, you had a couple years on me. That's when your ear just said, I'm going to skedaddle. Because you're not using me anyway, is what your ear said. Said, you don't use
me. He's not paying attention at all.
That's right.
In both ears.
That's right. He said, well, you don't need this. Because your body was strategic. See, your body's very smart. People don't know this, but your body's very smart. And it knows it's going to lose things. And so as soon as I stopped masturbating so much, my right arm crept out on me. And then...
that was its main use.
Yeah, that was all I used my right arm for. And so my right arm said, you don't need this anymore. And Wallach's ears, when he completely bagged out on everything, his left ear said, what do you want out of me?
As soon as he started working on this show.
Yeah, his left ear just started deteriorating.
Right ear. It's a right ear.
Whatever it was. It's all the same.
Well, if you're going to choose, I just want to make sure you choose it properly.
Yes, but right I got into the, he wanted to karate fight, and I went to kick him in the stomach with a side kick, and he took his elbow and moved it down and got me in the knee.
Quick reflexes, your boy.
I mean, I got him down like 8 times.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah, I just kept taking his legs out from under him. Yeah, he'd come at me, and then I would just take my right leg and sweep his legs.
Yeah, you're 80 pounds. Have a seat.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's 100 pounds, oh, but nonetheless. Oh, yeah.
He's way too Ralph Macchio, and you're way too Martin Covey. You're sensei all over the place.
That's right, exactly. I said I was in the war, and I killed my... Hey, is that... in Cobra Kai is the sergeant in the flashbacks, homeboy from 16 Candles, Anthony Michael Hall?
No. Well, I don't think it is. I certainly would have probably recognized, because I think Anthony Michael Hall is in good shape. He showed up in like a couple of random things lately, and he looks like Anthony Michael Hall, just older.
Okay.
He doesn't know. He's not as banged up as that guy was.
I thought that was Anthony Michael Hall.
Maybe. I could be wrong. I think I probably would have known by now, but I don't think that that's him. No.
All right. Well, yeah. I would assume. Let me see here. Rob, hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to talk to you about this. Cobra Kai, new season's awesome, but I think the best part is Peyton List. She's the girl that plays Tori, her massive melons. You know, it's like the moguls at Loon Mountain.
Who's Tori? Which one's Tori?
She's the bad chick that's got the brass knuckles, you know, bringing them into school like a crazy. I mean, she's crazy on top of it, too. So it's
she beat up Ralph Macchio's daughter, that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She does the seductive thing with the nunchucks. I don't mean to spoil anything for you, because I got news for you. If you haven't seen all of Cobra Kai, it is nothing but surprise after surprise. I really could see how you got on us for talking about that before, audience. Because it is nothing but a thrill-a-minute surprises as far as the eye can see. If you're hanging on every episode and going, oh, my Lord, what could come next in this show, then you need to have yourself end the pandemic right now. And you need to, just for your own mental health, get out.
The last two episodes of season 3 are great, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it was two of my favorites that from the series so far, and I've loved the series. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
As I said, they went all in on Johnny, and that's what you got to do. Johnny's the star, and the episodes that are almost exclusively about him are just great. I mean, he's got to be one of the easiest characters to write for, and those people have a good time doing it as well.
Well, if you love people playing teenagers that are in their 20s having full-out karate brawls, that is the show for you, especially if you like people getting nerds getting thrown through windows, which I'm all about. But I did see the Tiger Woods documentary part one. And if you don't have HBO, this is a reason to get it. It is fantastic. And the part two, it's two parts, hour and a half each. The first one ends, again, this is a no spoiler because you know the story already. Rachel Yucatel sits down, whose face she looks like Caitlyn Jenner. Rachel looks exactly like Caitlyn Jenner. And
so she got like a ton of work, is what you're saying?
It looks like someone who has had work to appear to be a woman. Someone who was so beautiful has distorted her face. And Lord knows what kind
of... That was less than 10 years ago.
Lord knows what kind of mental stuff she's going through and the reasons that you would deform your face like that. But she sits down and she goes, so what do you guys want to talk about? And that's the then it goes to credits. But I'll tell you what, the way that his father got him to perform, and then they show him, and you forget, in the year 2000. Oh, my goodness gracious, could that guy play golf? I mean, just shaping shot. I mean, ridiculousness. And they, his mom, the Tiger's mom, you know, Lefty, they call Phil Mickelson Lefty. She called him Hefty to the press because they Tiger did not like that Phil was more naturally gifted than him, but would waste it on eating food. That he was the California dream boy that had every God-given talent, but Tiger Woods had to crawl and scrap for everything that he got. So there was a bit of a competition there.
That's weird, man. The thing about that, because it came out this weekend, I know part one, and do you remember when, and maybe it had to do with the timing of its release during the pandemic and everything, but the Michael Jordan documentary, everybody was talking about. Everyone. I mean, it was everywhere. It was one of the biggest things on TV. You would think for the Tiger Woods thing, there'd be some sort of similar buzz. I haven't heard anything about it.
Well,
until you started talking about it. There's been like no little articles I've read or people talking about. I mean, it's really weird how this kind of landed with a thud.
Well, Tiger Woods' dad had him when he was old. But one of the most fascinating things is Tiger Woods' dad. So he's like kind of this old, fat, ugly guy. Mm-hmm. But he would, and this is when Tiger was a kid. So Tiger Woods is just some kid. This is, you know, he's not winning amateurs or anything. He's just some kid.
Yeah.
And on this Army country club course. And Tiger Woods' dad would give lessons and he would pull an RV up onto the course and just take the chicks that were taking lessons with him and bang the hell out of them while Tiger was just putting on the green next to the Winnebago. So the Winnebago would be a rockin', and he would tell Tiger not to come a knockin'. And so that they to put a gap in the relationship there. So it goes from Tiger's birth to his father dying, and then part two kicks in because they equate his father dying with Tiger starting to bang Perkins waitresses.
Man.
And they draw the correlation between Tiger's father getting into the Winnebago and saying, "How do you do, miss?" But I am fascinated. How did Tiger Woods' dad, an overweight, schlubby guy, you know, at some country club that's only for veterans and current military members, how could he seduce so many students into agreeing to just to go into a Winnebago on the grounds of the golf course to have sex with them?
He told them his son was going to be Tiger Woods?
I mean, that's really a crystal ball that also you would get nothing out of. I don't, you know, my son at 10 years is going to be the greatest golfer of all time. Well, come on in, sir. Where's the Winnebago? Ooh la la. Because the other guy that was banging chicks with him was a young golf pro who's kind of a good looking guy. So I get that. But Tiger Woods' father, you got to give him some credit because he was able to have extramarital affairs based on before his son was famous. So that was that's very interesting, but Tiger did not like that. Tiger did not enjoy that. And they would go out to tournaments, and Tiger's dad would pick up chicks and go, like, "I'll be home later," and, like, go bang chicks, and Tiger would be alone in the room, like, waiting for his dad to come home.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it better than the Bee Gees documentary? Because I'm kind of torn between which one I want to watch.
Oh, the Bee Gees documentary is so good. I love documentaries where nothing happens. Give me, of all the musicians out there, let me tell you something. Give me, because I don't know where you'd find a musician story where there is some sort of tragedy or something that needs to be overcome. Give me a nice story of guys that were the best of friends and brothers that all died pretty much of natural causes except for the one that wasn't in the group. Give me that. Yes. No, the Bee Gees documentary. That's just the Bee Gees documentary is people just watched it and said, "Wow, I like the Bee Gees music." That's all they did.
Yeah, yeah. That's got more buzz than the Tiger Woods documentary. I mean, more people are talking about that.
I have no idea why. Every musician, and this is from someone who's read every rock biography from Bobby Blotzer to the guy from the band you like that I read for no reason. I read the biography of the...
Is it about Luna? Dean Wareham?
Luna. I read that.
You gotta be a fan of the music to like that book.
I read it, and I'm no fan of their music. I don't know anything about their music. I read the biography of the Closing Time band's drummer.
Semisonic.
So I've read everything.
That Semisonic guy probably has... The lead singer's probably got a pretty interesting story. He's written like a zillion hits.
Well...
Like, apparently he's like some mega writer.
Well, the drummer was basically an education into the music industry. But as someone who's read all that garbage, Bobby Blotzer from Rat's book, there is
infinitely better stories from everyone ever in the history of music than there is the Bee Gees. I mean, they got along. Everyone got along. There was nothing happened.
Wasn't Andy like the wayward brother that didn't sing with
it? Yeah, but who cares?
All right.
He's not in the Bee Gees. I mean,
I figured there might have been some conflict there. I don't know.
There's no like 70s disco excess Studio 54 stuff going on.
I mean, not as good as everyone else's. I mean, everyone else. Every other story from that era is better than theirs. Everyone.
The crux of it, Fred, was when they did the Disco Sucks, you know, thing in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that ends up turning out to be like the turning point for the band. You're like, that they had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And also, then they just went and wrote hits for other people.
Then they said, yeah, we're no longer accepted on radio, so we're going to write hits for Diana Ross and all these other people.
Yeah, so they made a smart decision and took it well. I mean, that's a great, great biography. Yeah. Great documentary. Let's make a sensible decision. And then, in 1980, the Bee Gees made a sensible business decision. They weighed all their options and realized it was time to take a break and start writing hits for other people.
Not have to travel.
Exactly. And to stay home with their families. It was something else.
Well, that almost seems like when they used to do Behind the Music, and you would just get done watching like the Milli Vanilli one, which ruled, and then they ran out of bands, and it was like, hey, how about the Creed one? And it would be before Creed like fell apart. And you'd be like, hang on, what? The No Doubt one. I'm like, no, hang on. There's nothing here. Oh,
there was the heartbreak between the drummer and or the bassist and Gwen Stefani. You know what we all got?
What's
the gift. Don't Speak came out of their breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, where would we be without Don't Speak? Thank God those kids got together in the first place. Am I right or am I wrong? Their heartbreak led to our great, made our culture better as a whole. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.